One thing?
I asked.
Just one thing.
I thought of the flowered mini-dress that I had seen in Kumiko's clothes storage box. Why that of all things happened to pop into my mind, I have no idea. It just did. We kept our hands together like that for another 5 minutes. 5 minutes that felt very long to me. Not so much because I was being stared at by people, as that the touch of Multicano's hand had something unsettling about it. It was a small hand, neither hot nor cold. It had neither the intimate touch of a lover's hand, nor the functional touch of a doctor's. It had the same effect on me as her eyes had, turning me into a vacant house. I felt empty. No furniture, no curtains, no rugs, just an empty container. Eventually, Multicano withdrew her hand from mine and took several deep breaths. Then she nodded several times.
"Mr. Okada," she said, "I believe that you are entering a phase of your life in which many different things will occur. The disappearance of your cat is only the beginning."
"Different things?" I said. "Good things or bad things?" She tilted her head in thought.
"Good things and bad things. Bad things that seem good at first, and good things that seem bad at first."
"That sounds very general," I said. "Don't you have any more concrete information?"
"Yes, I suppose what I am saying does sound unspecific," said Multicano. "But after all, Mr. Okada, when one is speaking of the essence of things, it often happens that one can only speak in generalities. Concrete things capture one's attention, but they are often little more than trivia, sideshows. The more one tries to see into the distance, the more generalized things become."
I nodded silently, without the slightest inkling of what she was talking about.
"Do I have your permission to call you again?"
she asked. "Sure," I said, though in fact I had no wish to be called by anyone. "Sure" was about the only answer I could give. She snatched her red vinyl hat from the table, took the handbag that had been hidden beneath it, and stood up. Uncertain as to how I should respond, I remained seated.
"I do have one small bit of information that I can share with you,"
Multicano said, looking down at me, after she had put on her red hat.
"You will find your polka dot tie, but not in your house."
4. High towers and deep wells, or far from Nomonhan. Back at home, I found Kumiko in a good mood. A very good mood. It was almost 6 o'clock by the time I arrived home after seeing Multicano, which meant I had no time to fix a proper dinner. Instead, I prepared a simple meal from what I found in the freezer, and we each had a beer. She talked about work, as she always did when she was in a good mood, whom she had seen at the office, what she had done, which of her colleagues had talent and which did not, that kind of thing. I listened, making suitable responses. I heard no more than half of what she was saying, not that I disliked listening to her talk about these things. Contents of the conversation aside, I loved watching her at the dinner table as she talked with enthusiasm about her work. This, I told myself, was home. We were doing a proper job of carrying out the responsibilities that we had been assigned to perform at home. She was talking about her work, and I, after having prepared dinner, was listening to her talk. This was very different from the image of home that I had imagined before marriage. But this was the home I had chosen. I had had a home, of course, when I was a child, but it was not one I had chosen for myself. I had been born into it, presented with it as an established fact. Now, however, I lived in a world that I had chosen through an act of will. It was my home. It might not be perfect, but the fundamental stance I adopted with regard to my home was to accept it, problems and all, because it was something I myself had chosen. If it had problems, these were almost certainly problems that had originated within me.
So what about the cat?
She asked. I summarized for her my meeting with Multicano in the hotel in Shinagawa.